Thank you, Elder Allen, and Shabbat Shalom and greetings to everyone here. Happy Sabbath in Yahweh and Yahshua's name. It's a blessing to be back with Yahweh's people at YRM, and I'd also like to welcome those that are online and that will hear this later. I'd like to turn to a scripture real quick that Brother Donnie pointed out to me. It's in Isaiah 42, if you want to turn there. Isaiah chapter 42. It's a prophetic statement, and now that I think about it, it was definitely fulfilled. It's in Isaiah 42, and if you can turn to verse 12, it just says there, "Let them give glory unto Yahweh and declare his praise in the islands." And so we here in the States, we don't hear much about the brothers and sisters in the islands, but we here at YRM, Elder Allen and Elder Butcher over in St. Lucia, they've been in contact, and they speak very highly of us over there. And I got to see this firsthand from being there, fellowshipping with the brothers. It was a different experience for me. I had been down to the Caribbean, only to Puerto Rico, but nowhere besides that. And so this year it was a little different. We had was mostly Africans. They call themselves St. Lucians, and they use the British accent and a little bit of the French accent. And they drive on the wrong side of the road, by the way. They drive on the left side of the road. So that was kind of different. And I'm glad I didn't have to drive out there because the roads are real narrow, you know, and tough to get around and navigate. But let's turn also to 1 Corinthians 10. I also like to just talk some scriptures too, you know, because this is what it's all about, the Sabbath day and worshiping Yahweh and giving testimony. Me, myself, I've never done a testimony, so it's a little different for me. But Brother Paul here, he just labeled this a praise report, so that's what we're doing. We're going to praise Yahweh for an awesome blessing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you go down to verse 31, it reads there, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of Yahweh." And this is interesting because on my trip over to St. Lucia, I got to make a quick stop in Puerto Rico. And before that, I got to stop in Chicago for about an hour. So it was almost like going back to two places where I lived before, where I grew up. And when I got to Puerto Rico on the way there, it was awesome to you know, witness to some people. You know, you're on the plane, they're asking you, where are you going, what are you going to do? You say, I'm going to visit family. And then, you know, they ask you, well, what are you going to do while you're there? Well, you say, well, I'm going to keep a religious festival. Oh, really? Well, you know, what kind of Christian are you? And so right there, you get to break the ice a little bit and, you know, let them know about Yahweh's name and about the feast. Let's go ahead and turn to Genesis, and we'll see here Genesis 22. This talks about Abraham, Genesis 22. And we also seen this in action, Genesis 22, 18. It reads there, "And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And when we kept the feast, that's basically what we did. We obeyed Yahweh's voice. And it says in Exodus 19 and in Jeremiah chapter 7 that this is what Yahweh wanted all along. He wasn't concerned about animal sacrifices and things like this. He always wanted us to obey his voice. And now in our day and age, we basically, since we have Yahweh's spirit, we get convicted of our sins, and this is how we turn from our wicked ways and we get to obey Yahweh in this here. So on my way to Puerto Rico, I was only able to stay there about a day and a half. I arrived on Monday in the afternoon. And the interesting thing about that, I gave my stepmom the flight number, but I forgot to tell her what airlines. And so my phone didn't work on the way there. And when I left the airport, I had a message on there. And so I was checking the message. And while I was checking the message, my stepmom called me. She says, "Hey, you told me the flight number. You forgot to tell me the airlines." But it just so happens that she was parked just a few feet away from me, right by American Airlines terminal. And so it didn't take me too long, you know, to get back home. And I went and visited with my stepmom's sister, whom I have not seen in about 7 years. And she was kind of down because she lost two of her kids in a car accident about 8 years ago. And just not too long ago, her husband died of a tumor. So you could just imagine how she felt. And now her daughter moved in with her two kids. And a lot of times the two kids remind her so much, you know, of her sons. And so going there, I tried to cheer her up a little bit, you know, and let her know that I was happy to be there and, you know, gave her hugs and kisses. And I had a little trial there while being there because she cooked up some food and it had some swine in it. And she didn't know that I don't eat swine, so I had to tell her, you know, we don't eat that. I had to put that to the side. But all in all, you know, it was good to be there and to, you know, spend time with a family who I have not seen in about 7 years. So that was pretty interesting because the last time there was a stretch of time that I didn't go to Puerto Rico in 7 years, and that was when I was about 8 years old. I was 14 when I went back, and then this year I'll be 34, and there was another stretch of 7 years that I had not gone there, so I don't know if that has any meaning, but it was interesting to me. So after this, I was headed to St. Lucia for this different experience, and upon arriving at the airport, I was greeted by Elder Joseph Butcher, and he mentioned something that's pretty interesting. It had been mentioned to me before. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:10. It just made me think of this verse here. We know that Shaul, a lot of times, he wrote some real strong letters to the brothers, and, you know, being an elder, an apostle, he had to set the people straight because they were not totally right a lot of times. But in 2 Corinthians 10:10, it says here, "For they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible." And so, you know, I'm not anything great. I've never wrote any letters. But just chatting with some of the brothers sometimes, what he mentioned to me was, "Wow, you seem a lot bigger than you are." And, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting. But I've heard that before. So basically, you know, we got through customs, and we were ready to go and get ready for the Passover. This was on a Wednesday. And interesting, while being there, we got to fellowship with some of the brothers from the Church of God Seventh Day. And Elder Butcher got a chance to mention to them that they kept the Passover on the wrong day. And the interesting thing about that is half of the congregation over there, they didn't agree with the elder on the count, so they didn't even bother keeping the Passover. And so I guess in a way you can see that as a blessing, where you can see that the people are studying and they're learning. And it's a big job, you know, to count the days and everything like that and make sure we get it right. And so that was a nice situation where Elder Butcher got to, you know, witness to these brothers and actually show them from the calendar how we do the count. Because me, myself, I was confused a little bit on the count. I had to change my flights a couple of times just because of that. So next time I have to do a better job at calculating the days. And if I'm going to take a trip, you know, make sure that I pick the right dates. So Brother Butch, as he likes to call himself, we basically took me around the island and we got ready to keep the Passover. He had to do a lot of errands. And the interesting thing about that was that in the island, Thursday and Friday and also Monday, there was a holiday. I guess it's the Easter holiday or Holy Week. I don't know what they call it, something like this. So a few times, you know, he was kind of stuck. He couldn't get any money from the bank, and, you know, he ran into a couple of problems there. But nonetheless, for the Passover, the service was real nice. He went over the scriptures, such as Exodus 12 and John 13, and it was a small group. But in Luke 32, it says there, "Fear not, little flock," you know. And so it doesn't matter whether we got two or three people or a big bunch, you know, as long as we're doing the right thing for Yahweh, His Spirit's going to be among us, and He's going to bless us. While we were partaking of the Passover, we had a brief interruption outside the meeting hall, but the police there, as a matter of fact, they had to come and escort a person, away from the premises. So that was a blessing from Yahweh, because there was a person out there, and he was smoking marijuana. And, I mean, this thing just, the smell crept into the assembly, and you're trying to keep the Passover, and I was already starting to get nauseous, and Elder Butcher too, and I was about to move my seat, but, you know, thank Yahweh, you know, the cop came and escorted him out, you know, and we were able to partake of the Passover. And also, we had another invited guest, which Elder Butcher invited, and it was interesting. I don't know how to look at this feast now from a person who's never kept this feast, but it was interesting. The person had arrived just before that. Her name was Teresa, just before we partook of the emblems. And so this was interesting. Elder Butcher was going over the scriptures, and I'm trying to pay attention, and she's busy asking me questions. So I'm like, oh, boy, you know. So I tried my best to not interrupt the service and give her the scriptures and let her know why we were doing what we were doing. When we got to the foot washing, let's turn real quick to John, and we can see right here in John 13. It says that we should always give an answer for the hope that we have, and from the scriptures is the best way besides our witness by the way that we walk. In John 13 and verse 14, it reads there, "If I then, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And so when she saw these scriptures and she saw us doing this, you know, she was satisfied with our answer. And one of the goodies that we had for the Passover was the juice that we had was from fresh pressed grapes. And I had never had that before, so that was real nice. And also, the visitor, Teresa, she wondered, how come you guys are singing so slow and it seems so sad, you know, the mood. And for me, it was kind of different too, because I was in a rush. You know, to me, it was like, great, Yahweh answered a prayer. I got here safely. My luggage got here safely. And I was kind of happy, but when we partake of the Passover, we remember the sacrifice that Yahshua did, and so we get into this. It's almost like going to a funeral, you know, and then the next day, which is the first high day of unleavened bread, it's almost like you're going to a wedding or something happy. So, you know, you got the contrast one day to another. But it was great. The service was great. The songs were great. It was kind of hot there, so at times I was kind of sleepy because the sister Diana, Elder Butcher's wife, she would cook some real big meals, and I've missed that for a long time too. You know, we had rice and beans and chicken and fresh fish and veggies, and I mean, these things, when you have a big meal like this, doesn't matter what time of day it is, when it's about 80, 85 degrees, it just makes you sleepy. So, but you have to just try your best, you know, to hang in there and pay attention to what's going on there. The first high day, the service began at about 10 a.m., and this is quite early for us, you know, being that we start here at 1:30, right around this time. For instance, this morning, I was just taking my second nap at that time, and so Elder Butcher says, no, you guys should start earlier, you know, and I explained to him, you know, it's for various reasons, you know, that we do it at the time we do, and he understood. The message that was given was presented by Brother Hazel John, and I got a lot of encouragement from this message. The message was titled, "To Maintain Our Direct Course." And I say this message was very timely because before the feast, you know, we heard of a brother who started to have doubts and deny Messiah and things like this, and we hate to see that happen. But let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's touch on some of the scriptures that he was going through. And I was kind of caught off guard. I didn't think I was going to have to talk about this trip here. I had another message lined up for this. But it was right along these lines that, you know, we should always keep our focus, especially when we have those stretches like this year. We had about 7 months from Tabernacles to Passover, and sometimes you get sluggish, you know, you kind of lose your focus. And so this was a very good message. In 1 Timothy 4, from verses 1 through 8, it says there, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience. Men who forbid marriage, advocate abstaining from foods which Yahweh has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by Yahweh is good, and nothing to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of Yahweh and prayer." And you can back that up with Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. In verse 6, "In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Messiah Yahshua, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of righteousness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but righteousness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." So this message here was for Timothy, but it's also for us that we need to be careful and we need to be watchful of certain brethren. Even during the feast, they come into our midst and they promote false doctrine. And this is, in a way, our testing and almost like a trial. And also during the feast days, we're going to have a trial. Other butcher had a trial with his car. You know, it wasn't driving quite right. And we thought we were going to have to go to the mechanic. And it wasn't a high day, but over there it was a holiday. So it was going to be tough to try to find a mechanic and then to get him to fix the vehicle on time so that we can, you know, do some last-minute sightseeing. But praise Yahweh, all we did was put some water in his radiator and everything was ready to go. So it was kind of tough there because they were losing a little bit of faith there, you know. And Brother John and I were outside just praying, and we remember that in speaking, even during trials and temptations, we're supposed to be happy and give praise to Yahweh because he gives us these things and then he delivers us, and this encourages us. And also the different brothers, sometimes I might lose faith. And, you know, a brother in the faith might come to me and say, "Oh, don't worry about it. You know, it'll be okay. Just hang in there." And, you know, we get through it. Let's go also to Isaiah chapter 8. Let's look at verse 20 in Isaiah chapter 8. These are some of the scriptures that he touched upon, so I figured I might go ahead and touch on some of these too. And I had a question on this verse here in 8:20 of Isaiah. It says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no light in them." And I wondered if that verse went along with Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Let's turn there also. And just as I was thinking this, I was reading a newsletter over there, and Elder Allen touched upon this. Revelation 12 and verse 17. And by the way, Brother Randy and Elder Allen, your messages are being heard also in Puerto Rico too, so that's a great blessing, you know, the word is being spread. Revelation 12, 17 reads, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold to the testimony of Yahshua." So there we have one scripture interpreting another. Let's also turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Even before speaking to Brother John and him giving the message, I already had in mind what I wanted to speak upon, and he touched on a lot of the verses that I had. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19. Down to 23, it reads there, "Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Yahshua, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of Yahweh, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So this was great. I see the love that we have here, and I got to witness firsthand the love that the brothers have in St. Lucia. And this meeting hall right here is just huge compared to the meeting hall they have there. I gave the DVDs to Elder Allen if you want to take a look at them. And you can see how small it is. The congregation is very small. On certain days, we only had maybe 10 people there, you know, to worship. But the Spirit was there, and the sisters gave some awesome offerings. And if you like reggae music, that was great because you get that reggae and calypso sound to the music. So you hear Yahweh's word being sung, you know, with a different type of flavor. And me, myself, I like reggae music, so it was pretty nice for me to hear that. So it was a blessing. This was the first high day, and the next day, I believe we had a service. Let's see, that was Friday morning. And then the Sabbath came, and I was called upon to give a message. And that was pretty interesting for me to give a message in front of people that I don't know. I was, as always, a little nervous, but it didn't matter. Once I got up there and I started speaking and I let Yahweh lead me, everything was great. The brothers were encouraged by the word. And the message that I gave there was different lessons that we learned throughout the feast. I remember Sister Margie telling me, just go ahead and speak about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I had never spoke on that per se, but I prayed and, you know, Yahweh gave me some scriptures and I was able to edify the brothers there. Some of the great things that happened during the feast, you know, are Israel's delivery from Egypt. And let's turn to Exodus 34. This is a real nice verse for those of us. I know a lot of us, we may have a lot of possessions and sometimes we worry about our possessions, especially if we live in bad areas. You know, in Exodus 34:24, here in Missouri, basically where I live, you can sleep with your door open and not worry. Exodus 34:24 reads, "For I will drive out the nations before you and enlarge your borders, and no man shall covet your land when you go up three times a year to appear before Yahweh your Elohim." So this is an awesome blessing here. We don't really have to worry. We just put our faith in Yahweh, go to the feast, and he will take care of our possessions. Another thing that we learned was that Yahshua the Messiah was impaled, and we were delivered from the curse of the law, which is basically the penalty of the law. It doesn't mean we don't keep the law. It just means that whenever you do certain things, you won't be, you know, basically killed for these things, because we know that the penalty for a lot of the sins was death. And so now we're under grace, but it's no license to sin. It just means that you can come to Yahweh through Yahshua and you'll find forgiveness. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. Galatians 3:13 and 14. A lot of times when speaking to some brothers out there, you know, we had to quote scriptures from them, you know, quote scriptures to back up what we were saying. And even then, they kind of still had a hard time believing it because it came from Elder Butcher. And I remember him saying that a lot of the brothers, he was reminded of that scripture that says, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. And he was mentioning that if Elder Allen went there and witnessed, you know, some of the things that we believe, they would readily accept these things. But because it's Elder Butcher and they know him, they don't you know, sometimes believe him. So Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14 reads, "Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Messiah Yahshua the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And this agrees with the verse that we read in Genesis 22. The Sabbath service for me was pretty interesting because almost all the sisters there, it was about four or five of them, they were giving specials. And right about that time, I was just starting to get sleepy because it was so hot, you know, and I was embarrassed that I was getting sleepy. But I mean, you know, it's just, you know, being coming from here where it was kind of in the 70s and such like this. And then we had the cool weather at night and you go there and it's, you know, 85 in the daytime, 80 in the nighttime. You know, it just kind of drains you sometimes. So we had to be drinking a lot of water, and we had a lot of coconuts while we were there, a lot of mangoes. And so that was quite good. Definitely appreciated that. Let's go over to Numbers 9:13 real quick. And we can see here what I was saying earlier, where you read in the Torah in a lot of places where if you didn't keep certain commandments, you were cut off just like that. It says there in Numbers 13, and this is speaking about the Passover for those that don't keep it. So I hope that Yahweh has mercy on those that in trying to be faithful didn't partake of the Passover on the wrong day. Maybe they can partake of it in the second month, you know, and Abba will have mercy on them. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 13, we read, "But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and yet neglects to observe the Passover, that person shall be cut off from his people, for he did not present the offering of Yahweh at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin." And we read of this in a lot of places, you know, where, like I said, if you don't keep the commandments, automatically you're cut off. And so in our day and age, a lot of us should have been cut off a long time ago. But we see Yahweh's mercy, which was also one of the things that we learned. If you read in Psalms 63, verse 3, it says that Yahweh's loving kindness is better than life. And that's a pretty deep statement there. After the service on Sabbath, we had a nice meal. We relaxed, let the food go down a little bit. Then we had a nice Bible study where we studied different questions on the Torah about the offerings and about the priests. And the next day, we had an evening service. So during the day, we got a chance to go to the beach for a little while. And when you go to the beach, the islands there are so close that in one section of the island, you can see St. Vincent. And in another section of the island, you can see Martinique. And I put together a CD of the pictures, gave it to Brother Randy, if some of you all might want to look at them. In some of the pictures, you can actually see the other islands, I mean, right in the photo, and also in the DVDs that I gave to Elder Allen. So that was pretty neat. And from the plane, you can also see all the small little islands just clumped together. You know, it's an awesome sight, you know. There was also a place where we went to get some drinking water right from the spring. You know, here we just go to the store and buy some spring water. I know there's springs here in the States, but for me it was a little different to actually be there and, you know, get the water. And they say that water is also good for getting rid of the salt from the beach. So Elder Butcher took a bath there. I didn't get a chance to. But that was pretty nice also. Sunday evening came, and just like this, I had to leave Tuesday. So, you know, the visit was being cut short quite quick. But we had a real nice service once again. And we did a lot more praising, and we heard another blessing message by Elder Butcher. In this message, he touched on certain scriptures, such as Matthew 16:6 and verse 11. Let's go ahead and go there, Matthew 6, and we can read about these things. We know that during certain feasts, we do certain things, but in Matthew 16, we can read here of Yahshua speaking to the apostles, and he is giving them a warning. Matthew 16:6. It says here, "And Yahshua said to them, 'Watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And also, when the apostles were a little confused about what he was saying, he explained to them again in verse 11. He says, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And this command, you can carry this out throughout the whole year, because we see that leaven, in a symbolic way, it represents sin. And we know that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they had some different beliefs that Yahshua had to rebuke them on. And basically in our day and age, we have people who fit these categories of Pharisees and Sadducees when they bring in these man-made traditions and try to obligate us to keep them. As a matter of fact, such as New Year's, Christmas, Easter, you know, these are all man-made traditions. And some Christians and even others who are not even Christians and keep these days, they almost try to make you feel guilty, you know, that you're not keeping these days and that you're weird because you're keeping Passover and unleavened bread, you know. And I had a couple of people tell me, "Hey, happy Easter," you know, and I told them, "Hey, happy Passover, happy unleavened bread," you know. And when they asked me, you know, "What's that?" I explained to them from the scriptures, you know, what this is about. And a lot of them, you know, maybe later in time, if Yahweh calls them, they'll get to understand this more. But a lot of them, it probably just went right over their head. But it's still our job to share the scriptures, whether they take them at face value or not. That's our job, and, you know, we're called to do it, whether they ridicule us or whatever, you know. Also, he touched upon 1 Corinthians 5, and boy, we must have read this scripture so many, many times during Passover and unleavened bread. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. It says there, this is to the Corinthians. They had a man there committing fornication, committing sins with his stepmom. And it says here, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Messiah, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And this also applies to us right now, and it doesn't have to be the feast of unleavened bread. You know, we clean out the leaven all year round. Whatever sin we have, we clean it out. We get rid of it. We repent, you know, and we just try our best to do what Yahweh's word says, to be holy as He is holy. So this was Sunday, and the next day, Monday, we went to the south part of the island, which is called Soufre, and basically that's French for sulfur, if I'm not mistaken. And Elder Butcher's daughter, she lives down here, and so we were going to drop her off. She was going to spend a few days at home and get ready for the high day on Thursday. So we went ahead and dropped her off, and we got a chance to visit the only Caribbean drive-in volcano. And this was pretty interesting. I mean, I got some photos and some video footage and also some postcards. And if you ever smell sulfur, it smells like rotten eggs. And so this smell was pretty strong. I mean, just being there, it was awesome, you know, to see, you know, what Yahweh can do. And, you know, there's some people there. They come every year. And they come to St. Lucia just for that. Just they take a shower in the sulfur springs. Supposedly, it's good for your skin. It was good for acne and things like this. And also, some just come every now and then. But this is basically a popular site down there, and it's on the south side of the island. We were northwest of the island, so it took about an hour to drive down there. And if you've been to Tennessee and you saw those winding roads that we took, you know, to get to Tabernacles, this was similar to it, except I didn't get too sick going through all those curves. But there's a lot of hills, and I wonder how those cars take it. I mean, these hills and valleys were just, I mean, they were awesome. And they don't have like a major highway, so the road was basically from one side of the island, you go down, and you come all the way down to the bottom, all the way down south, and you go up east. And it takes about 2 to 2.5 hours, you know, but you're just going through curves and just makes you dizzy sometimes, you know. But after visiting the springs there, Sulfur Springs, We had a nice dinner at a place called The Still. It was basically a distillery, and they just changed the name and called it The Still. After doing that, we just took the south route, and we went all the way down south, and we seen some people out there. They were doing car racing on an old rundown airport landing place, and Elder Butcher was interested in doing that. The rest of us, we didn't know why, but he was just interesting. But he caught some video footage of the people over there. They were racing their cars, and I guess that was okay, you know. The feast was very nourishing and definitely recharged our spiritual batteries. But it is important now that we do as the one message said. We must maintain our direct course. And as we have just seen before the feast, you know, we had the brother having doubts. And, you know, that's pretty dangerous. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. I encourage anyone who has an opportunity to get out there. You know, you can pay the brothers a visit. Very hospitable. Elder Butcher has tons of work out there. He works doing shirts for the tourists, and the work is just booming out there, and he's doing construction on his home, and so he needs a lot of prayer and a lot of help between juggling the job and juggling the assembly and trying to keep everything in order. Elder Allen has also the same obligation, you know. In Hebrews 5, verse 9, it says here, having been made perfect, this is talking about Yahshua, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. And so we can put our hopes in Yahweh, that Yahshua is the Messiah, you know, and he made the ultimate sacrifice. And as it says there, as long as we're obedient, he's going to be the source of eternal salvation. And this is a great blessing. And these are one of the lessons also that we learned throughout the feast, that the feast days are going to be kept in the kingdom. And some of us are going to be teaching, some of us are going to be ruling. So we have to keep learning from Yahweh's word. And let's go now to 1 John chapter 2. Verses 25 and 26. And also, in speaking to the brothers over there, we see that they have the same struggles that we go through over here. You know, you have some that come into the body and then they leave. They want to be teachers. They want to overthrow the elders and the rulers, you know, in the assembly. And it just, I wasn't amazed at all, you know, but it just kind of makes you wonder sometimes. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, it reads here, and this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. And we know in Matthew 24, the first thing that Yahshua says in the prophecy there, it says, let no man deceive you. And the apostles also echo this sentiment. And so we have this promise here that Yahweh made to us. Yahshua made the same promise that if we love them, we keep their commandments. And it was an awesome blessing to go there and to fellowship with the brothers. I'd like to thank Elder Allen and all the brothers here. I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers, and also the brothers in St. Lucia. They welcome us with open arms. It doesn't matter whether you're an elder or a layman. It doesn't matter. You know, when they hear about us, they hear good things, and they're spreading the word also in St. Lucia about YRM. And more people are beginning to be curious. And this is nice, because the doctrine that sets the assemblies apart, basically, is the divorce and remarriage issue. And it's a tough topic for some to handle, but it has to be talked about, you know. And this thing here, I mean, when you hear some of the assemblies, they want to get back with Elder Butcher, and he put this up for a vote to the brothers there, and they said, no, we're sorry about that, but we have to try to keep the assembly as kodesh, as clean, as pure as possible, you know, and we do these things. And, you know, we know that Yahweh has mercy on some because of their ignorance, but, you know, once we learn the truth, you know, we have to do our best to change our ways. And It's great to be a part of this assembly, and it was great to go there. And I almost felt like I was at home. You know, they took me in as a brother. And anytime any one of us want to go there, you know, we have a place to stay. We have some wonderful brothers, you know, to fellowship with. And they, like us, they love the scriptures, you know, as we go around town, you know, we're hearing tapes, we're hearing songs, and we're hearing messages. And you run into people all along the way, you know, who are just locals, and you have an opportunity to witness because they ask you, you know, what religion are you? And I had a couple of people ask me, you know, are you a minister? You know, just because you open your scriptures and you start to read and write some notes, they wonder about these things. But I remember telling one officer who stopped me on the way to Illinois, I'm definitely hoping that, you know, he didn't get upset, but he asked me if I was a minister. I says, I'm not a minister, but I minister. And so he asked me this because he saw that I was taking a lot of Spanish Bibles on the way there. And so all of us here, you know, we also do that too. We all minister in the Word, you know. And hopefully I'll get a chance to visit the brothers in the Philippines also. And wherever they are, it doesn't matter whether they're in an island, in a city, as long as they worship Yahweh and they strive to do the best that they can and, you know, worship in spirit and truth. You know, we go there and we fellowship. It was nice to worship with the extended family. And I'm definitely grateful because I had a lot of prayers. You know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I hadn't flown since before September 11th, so I didn't know what to expect, you know. And you go through the security procedure. You have to take off your shoes. And I told Mike, next time I go, I'm just wearing sandals because all this taking off your shoes and stuff, you know, it gets kind of, you know, it just messes up your trip a little bit. But anyway, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and see what we have here. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 down to 17. We have an admonition here from Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 reads, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of Yahweh is." And so, this was what I was trying to focus on before I had to kind of change the topic a little bit. But this is great because it's an experience for me, you know, giving a testimony and a praise report. And all praises go to Yahweh. You know, He makes it all possible. We take trips. He gets us there and back safely, even just to come to Sabbath. You know, sometimes, you know, you pray for a safe trip because things happen along the way. And so we always have to look to Him. So also I like to say praise Yahweh for humble elders such as Elder Allen and Elder Butcher and those who I have not met yet in the body of Messiah. And through much studying, we can show ourselves approved, but we also learn through fellowshipping at the feast and also during the Sabbath. For myself, most of my learning has been through much hearing of the scriptures being repeated, such as Leviticus 23, Exodus 12, and things like this, and you learn where the feast days are. You can point somebody in the right direction. Let's go over to Ephesians 4 while we're here. Turn back to Ephesians 4 and verses 14 through 16. It reads there, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Messiah, from whom the whole body, being fitted together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." And so one thing that we can see is that the body is small and we only have a few members But each of us have different talents, so we have to do our best to share these talents. Another thing that the brothers in St. Lucia have in common with YRM is that not too long ago, the brothers there just started picking up their instruments and learning to play the guitar and play the bass and play the drums. And this is awesome because it adds a lot of touch to the worship of Yahweh. And it says in the scriptures that we should worship him, you know, with high-sounding cymbals and things such as this. So, as Other Butcher says, sometimes it gets real, real loud there, you know, and that place is a lot smaller. And so sometimes I almost, you know, I had to stop my ears a little bit because it was so, so loud. But being that it's done to praise Yahweh, it can be as loud as we want, you know. And, you know, this is the great part about it. We don't have to be shy about it, you know. So in ending, I like to say, let us not grow weary and praise Yahweh, even during our trials, which we will encounter, even during the feasts, which come as faith builders, because we know that we will not be tried above what we are able to handle. And I want to say to Yahweh and Yahshua, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. And as I leave you, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. Brother Randy touched upon this chapter here a couple of days ago. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, we have an encouragement here. It reads here, "And Yahweh is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." So he's our supplier, and we just give back. And, I mean, we can't say thank you enough. We can't. I mean, we just, the words just can't express, you know, the gratitude, you know, that we should show Yahweh. So may Yahweh protect as defend us, as the song says. Amen, and Yahweh bless you. Thank you all for your time.